Hola, yo bienvenidos a otro episodio de La Crónica de Wondong. Hoy me acompaña mi compañera del alma y mi escritora favorito, Ashlyn Virtuale. And for my English, for our English supporters, hello and welcome to another episode of the Wondong Chronicle. Today I'm joined by a fellow soul and my favorite writer, Ashlyn Vittori. Ashlyn, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
What an
absolute pleasure. You have an amazing Spanish, actually. I can't believe.
Yes. Gracias. Gracias, mi amor.
De nada.
I knew you were going to say
that. Amazing Spanish.
Thank you.
You look like a Spanish or Argentinian or Italian guy.
Yes. I do, don't I? I am, I'm like, you know how Jesus is like, sometimes he's like a white guy, sometimes he's like an Arab guy. I'm kind of like Jesus, where I look different all the time, depending on who I'm talking to. So to you, I probably look Argentinian, but if I spoke to someone from Egypt, they would think I'm Egyptian.
You're like a chameleon.
Yeah, I resemble home. So
you
actually,
have God in yourself, so you are almost like God.
Yeah,
you are God.
Well, we're all God.
Exactly.
You know what I was thinking.
Thank you for the invitation.
You know what I was thinking yesterday, because I have a God complex. You know when you like, and I think it's probably from watching like a lot of movies and stuff, like The Matrix. Where I think, like, I'm Neo. But in Buddhism, they say you are God. So
exactly.
It's like...
Everybody.
If anyone thinks I'm narcissistic for having a God complex, I'm going to say, speak to the Buddhists, because they tell me I'm God. Anyway, Ashlyn, so...
Exactly. It's a good answer.
We did an interview yesterday... And the sound was very, very difficult. And for about 4 hours, we did an hour of talking. And we've decided to redo it. So here we are again. So for my brain, it's kind of thinking sometimes, we spoke about that yesterday, but I have to let that go. And maybe just shut up for a second. But welcome to the podcast. Ashlyn is... Well, we'll get to that, but I don't know how to explain it. So first, I'm not sure which way to go about it, but first thing I'm going to ask you, and we'll just go from there, is how do me and you even know each other? A beautiful lady from Argentina and a very, very, very sexy, muscly, intelligent man.
Oh, my God.
From Australia.
I was so lucky. Look, I was so lucky woman.
Yeah, you were.
It was amazing. It's an amazing history. I will try to remember everything. How we met? I was playing with the Indian guy. I was playing the drums. The drums with the Indian guy. I met in the hostel because he asked me for the Instagram. And my Instagram was calling something about percussion. So he asked me, okay, you play? And I answered, yes, I play. So after that, we begin to play together. He did some covers with the guitar. So I begin to play with him. And in particular, I don't know if you know that, but in particular, that night, the night we met was like the third time. And I don't know if you know, but I was thinking, okay, don't tell to him. But I didn't was so motivated that night to go to play. And I have the theory like when the thing is going not so good, it's going bad, only can go up. So I say, okay, I am tired, I don't want to go, blah blah blah. But maybe something nice is happening.
Mm.
So maybe I met something, or maybe something happened. Okay, whatever. So I go. So I went, and that night. We began to play. It wasn't not so much people in the in the cafe. You remember the cafe?
Of course. That's my land room.
Your cafe, your favorite cafe. It's like a cafe, for the people who don't know, it's like a cafe in Dharamshala. It's in the town. All the data is in Dharamkot, in a place in the mountain in India, so near to the Himalayan. So a small town. And it's a cafe like where you can paint in the table. And you was in the corner painting in the table. In the same time, we was playing together. We was playing. I was playing. I was making a show with this Indian guy. Actually, really, really good music. Almost like two talented people. Yeah, and you was like clapping all the night. Wasn't so much people, so thank you for that, because it was like your table, another table, and I think one table more, not so much. And you was like there, so concentrated. So thank you for that night.
De nada.
And after that, de nada, gracias. And after that, just we. The guy, the owner of the coffee, Ash?
Yash. Y-A-S-H.
Yash.
Yash or Yush, I think.
I always remember. Yash, I think. I don't know. He say, oh, you have to know this guy. He was in the corner, like always. You love the corner, so he was in the corner painting. And he told me, you have to know this guy. He said, like, habitué here. He's, like, always painting here. So now you have to talk each other. And we begin to talk about writings, about, I don't know, I don't remember, about life, about, I think, writing, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think maybe. Maybe. I'm not sure if we spoke about writing straight away.
And in one moment, one guy like throw
pillow.
Us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. A pillow, like with a hard form.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really.
I think it said like.
What's really.
I choose you or something on it. Or I think it might have said like.
San Valentin, something.
Will you be mine or something like that? Something more romantic.
Yeah, that is. It was actually really romantic, and I think it was a bit romantic. And after that, everybody began to play. You remember that night? Everybody began to play in the cafe. Yeah,
that's at those times where, so Dharamshala has this place in, I guess, yeah, Dharamkot or Upper Bagsu, where it's like in the mountains, and it's where the Dalai Lama lives. But he kind of lives like down the road a little bit, and then there's like kind of like more locals. But at the top, there's like this little haven, and it's got like the waterfall, and then all these cafes. But there's a lot of travelers there doing yoga and classes, and yeah, maybe they go into the mountains and then come back. But a lot of people, like everyone, it seemed, is just like the most talented musician ever, and you were there playing a clap box. Did you already have that clap box?
Yes.
Yeah. So people are probably thinking you go into a cafe and carrying all your drums in, but it's like this little like box thing that you sit on, and you hit different parts of it and it plays different things. So yeah, and then at these cafes, you kind of just sit there, and then you can drink, smoke, eat, do whatever, and then people just start like playing. And that night people were playing, and each person that gets like the guitar and starts singing is like the most amazing thing ever. And that's when I probably feel the most untalented in my life, because I can't. I mean, I'm a very good singer.
No, but you aren't, because you did a lot of amazing painting in the table. I mean, remember that in that place, I mean, I never was in a cafe like you can paint in the table. So that was like, please bring yourself. If somebody's listening, please bring yourself to that place, because it was amazing. I don't know, really beautiful vibes, and really free, really simple it's place. Nice place, actually.
The best. Probably the a literal heaven. Because I don't know about Argentina, but I doubt there's places like that. So, like, the tables, like, everyone, you sit on the ground on, like, cushions with, like, blankets and stuff, and you can look out over the. Like, it's kind of like outside, but inside. And then, yeah, the tables you can paint on, and then you can sit there, and it's just so... And then I was allowed to play my music. Remember, I was playing my music through the speaker, and people would come in and go, oh, nice music. And then he'd point to me in the corner and be like, hey, that's that guy over there, the big fat spider. And they were, yeah.
Yes.
But, yeah, so my – that's your side of the story. My side of the story, because yours is a very, very cute and romantic, but my side of the story was was that I was in the corner, and yeah, I said, oh, there's people playing here tonight. And I guess maybe because I've been traveling in India, like I had my like, you know, you just always think like people are just trying to get like stuff off you. So like I did like him and like, yeah, a lot. And we became close over the couple of weeks. And yeah, then you played and you were obviously as well as very talented and intelligent, you're also quite nice to look at.
What nice words?
You're nice to look at. You're attractive. Mm. So when you were playing, I thought you were I thought you were too cool for me. I thought you were out of my league.
Yeah.
And then yes, I found that out now. it's donation based, and I paid, and then you come spoke to me, and I just thought you were being polite because, you know, I donated money for your performance. But then here we are, almost a year later, and we are best friends.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What did write?
That's how we started. Yeah, we're writing buddies.
Buddy, you was the first person I show something I write in. I think in my life, at least more not professional, but more serious. Mm. So I really appreciate that, and I think this is I don't know. I really like this relation about us and about also the art and the writing, and yeah, for me it was really. A really nice, really important meeting that night, I think.
Yeah.
And I am so grateful about that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, because then we end up seeing each other in Thailand and then Bali. We've seen each other in three different countries. And not one of them has been our own.
And now we are coming back.
Yes.
And I will be coming back soon.
I'm going back to Dharamshala. I'll be there by next Tuesday. Today is Friday. Today is the first day of March here in Australia. It's a Friday morning. I have a wedding tonight. So I've got this is my, I'm doing some work right now. This is my very important work. And then I'm going to party. But yes, that night, and it's hard for me to repeat stuff, but I have to keep remembering that no one else heard what we said yesterday. But when I first saw you, and Dharamshala is like a beautiful place, but it also, like anywhere, like, you know, it attracts a certain type of person, but it attracts a lot of like bullshit as well, like people that go there for a couple of weeks. They become this character, and everyone like kind of like, yeah, everyone wears the same clothes, and then they go home, and then they go back to being another character. Which is just natural anyway, but it's a bit more, I don't know, it can be a bit cringy. Ah. Yeah, it can be a bit bullshit. Like, for example, like, you sit at that place, and I remember, like, a couple walked in, and they'd just done a 10-day silent retreat, you know, so they're, like, walking around and talking about themselves, I guess. And then the next day I see that girl again and I go to say hello, and I can just tell by her face that she knew me from somewhere, but she couldn't remember where. And it's like, we fucking spoke for half an hour last night. But that, I kind of thought you were like that a little bit, because you're up there playing your percussion, singing, and oh, it's amazing. Namaste. But then, yeah, we spoke about writing, and it's very scary to share your writing and it's very scary to receive writing, because no matter how much you really like someone, or like, I don't know, whatever you feel about someone, if they're a bad writer, there's nothing you can do about
that. What do you say? Yeah. What do you say? Oh,
and like,
oh, this is good.
I have been on that side of the story plenty of times. There's something I think about almost every day. But you know Shantaram, the book? You know the famous book?
Yes.
Shantaram? So I did a podcast with him, with the writer of that, Gregory David Roberts. And I had just started this idea of, like, I think I want to be a writer. And I like, it just started. Like, I was looking for something to put, like, my energy into that I actually cared about, because football was, like, over. And I started reading Shantaram, and I liked it, and I just emailed him and saying, like, would you come on the podcast? And he had just spent, like, 5 days, like, away from everything. Like, I think he'd done like a spiritual thing. He spent 5 days not speaking to anyone, and this was like, he's like, so I did an interview with him, and the interview was right. I was still probably just too nervous and not confident within myself, but he asked to share some of my writing, and I shared some, and I just knew it was bad, and his response was like polite, but I just imagine him reading it and just being like, oh, this poor guy. He's got no chance. But yeah, so that, and then you shared me your writing, and then that's when I thought, oh, she's actually amazing.
That's for real, or only because you want to be polite?
Bit of both, maybe. Maybe if you were really ugly, I'd think, like, oh, it's okay. Nah, of course, no. And that was good. And then, yeah, we had a great time there, and that's how this all began. And when I was away, I started this website called The Wandong Chronicle. And when I first started, like, kind of like the same reason you start anything, you think after a couple of months I'll have 20,000 subscribers and then I'll write a book and have 40,000 book sales in the first 3 months and all this stuff. But when I was away and I was writing, and I pretty much went away to learn how to write, which I'm still learning. It's always going to be a progress, but it definitely helped. And the idea with the platform originally was to have it so eventually other people, it becomes more of a website than a blog, but it had been a blog up until this point. And what is now happening, the next stage of our beautiful lives, is there's a new member of the Wandong Chronicle team, and I could not be any more excited and happy to share a platform with someone. And the first new member of the team, other than me, is the lovely Ashlyn Vettori.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I am really happy to, I mean, when you told me this, I don't know, I am really happy to be part of, I think it's an amazing, it's a nice idea. We talk a lot about this, but time to time you feel a bit alone and a bit dismotivated about writing and about all the stuff you felt. Time to time, so it's really nice to can share. Also, it's another people feeling the same like you, and also help each other, and also try to share art and motivation, and I don't know. I am so happy to be part. So I am so happy from the first point about your projects, your personal projects, and after about be part of this with you and also other people. But thank you so much for thinking about me, and thank you so much for sharing this idea and these possibilities. Thank you for sharing art.
You're welcome. Yeah, we speak about this a lot because the writing and art is one thing, and then the other side of it of I always think about like the flower and the bee. Like sometimes you all you want to do is be the flower. Like you want to be like that pretty flower that sits there. But sometimes you have to be the bee to do the work to spread your pollen. But through like the means of Instagram and everything like that, it can become, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like you're always getting your heart broken, but really you're getting your ego humbled in a way. Because like if I look back to say even like 2 years ago and I started putting poems on Instagram and I'd be like, oh, it's only getting like 5 likes or no one cares. But if I look back now, I'm like, that's what it deserved. That makes sense. But finding that balance between the product and the package. So the platform is not about like, yeah, trying to get 10,000 likes on Instagram, but it's more about just having something to improve and help the process, which will ultimately create a better final product. So it's never going to be like, you know, make $1 million off the website. The website's going to be something to make, you know, us a better artist. And then eventually, like, you know, when you have a book to sell, then people buy the book. Does that make sense? So it's always, it's more about just a place. Yeah, it'll just be a natural progression, but yeah, it'll start with us and then we can work forward, and then with the podcast too, meet other people and other people can post on the website and who knows. But yeah.
I think share real stories about another people, right?
Yeah.
And also it's like kind of a tribu or kind of community, like supporting each other and also supporting your work and the work of your college and the work, right? And try to, yeah, make like a community to real people, like have a voice, a real voice in some part of the world, and try to share that and make more fluid that voices, right? Like maybe when you are not commercialist, everything is more complicated. So try to support the art of the small people, right?
Yeah, we spoke about that, kind of like a platform for people who deserve one. But it's a very nuanced idea. It's more trying to have people who care about the art more than getting something from it or whatever. Doing the work. So
we need more of that.
Yes, me also. I am whatever I don't like in the world. I am a big culprit of it in that aspect, because I think like, oh, people need to, like, you know, Taylor Swift has 1 billion fans, and independent talented people have like 50. Why can't we just balance the, like, it's so concentrated. Like, I'm not sure, like in Argentina there's probably like 5 celebrities that seem to get everything, and then there's a whole world of artists who don't get anything. But then I think about myself, and I'm not sure if the last time I read a book by someone who was still alive or supported, like, or know of like a live novelist.
I read your book.
Yes, that's true. I am one.
It was amazing.
Thank you.
But so here we have one.
It's not about me. This is about you. This is the introduction of Ashlyn Fattori, not me. So, first of all, I'll ask, how did you end up in that cafe in Dharamshala? What was your experience for someone from Argentina to end up there? Why India? How did you end up by yourself playing a clap box in a cafe?
Okay, it's a nice question. Why India? I think I didn't wanted to go to India. I mean, one part of me wanted, but the decision for me how I arrived to India was so complicated. But I think something in myself was needing to wake up in some point. I mean, the last before to travel to India, I was living in Copenhagen for 4 years, traveling a lot and living there. And in one moment, I begin to. I mean, I broke up with my boyfriend. I begin to rethink a lot of stuff in my life, and I noticed like I was feeling unhappy with a lot of stuff. I was feeling like, I mean, so much question like I had for a long time was getting heavy and more heavy and more heavy, you know, and like where I want to live, what I want to do, what about my profession, like answers like question like I always had. But in one moment, everything was like together, you know? And I begin to feel really, I mean, I begin to feel like I had to solve that and I didn't have idea how to do. But for one reason, I was feeling I had to go to India and I didn't want it to go. But I was really feeling like I had to go. So for me, that moment was really, really. I mean, I think was the worst time in my life. The worst. Like I was feeling like also when my father passed away, it was not so complicated like that time or that decision when my mind was talking about, okay, I mean, I was a bit depressed, you know, I was a bit bad, I mean, bad with so much stuff. And I didn't have the energy to go to India, but I wasn't feeling like I had, I mean, I need to do this. I need to like, I don't know how it's the word, but try to solve or try to put face to face with this question, with this ghost I had. And that was the way I find to do that. And it was terrible because it was like long nights and I mean so much fear, so much fear, so much fret, so everything, you know. It was terrible moment actually. Now I laugh, but it was really terrible. And in that way I arrived to India. Trying to connect with myself or with with I think with myself.
So you're 30. What you turned 34 in India, or
Sorry?
when your birthday is December, were you already in India for your 34th birthday?
Everything was terrible. Everything was terrible. I decided to go to India. I mean, in one part of this whole question, I begin to feel like the moment was in that moment, and I went to India for my birthday, for the New Year, for Christmas. Actually, Argentina was the champion World Cup in that moment, so everything the good stuff that was happening, it was in the same moment when I decided to go to India alone. I just put all my stuff. I mean, I just broke with my ex-boyfriend. I leave my stuff in Copenhagen, my house, my job, my and just I decided to go to just I don't know. I think trying to, I mean, I always fight in my life for the stuff I wanted, but in that moment I felt like, I mean, everything I was fighting was like stuck and something wasn't working, you know, when you try, and I really wanted to be there and in Copenhagen. I even wanted to move, but I was fighting and everything began to, you know, disappear and go down and go down. And in one moment I say, okay. what do you want of myself, you know? Yeah. Okay. I mean, I had problem in my job, you know, all the stuff I had began to broke, to disappear, and I said, okay, I mean, something is pushing me. So, okay, I have to go, and I have to go now, and I have to, I mean, yeah, I think that the world, like, have to be something like, put the face to all the stuff I couldn't solve or I couldn't answer for a long time, because you get distracted, you know, in the world. But in that moment was, okay, I have to do now. And I was really bad, but I had to do now. And so for me, go to India was like, I was really, all the first time was so complicated because it was my birthday, Christmas, my mother didn't know, like, I was traveling in India, so I was alone, but real, more alone than of the people, alone in the way, I was alone in my decision. I was thinking, what I am doing with my life? I am destroying my life. Mm. My life is getting, I mean, I was in panic, you know, what I am doing? So, and I think in that point was, yeah, the decision more complex I had to go through. But now I can say it was beautiful, so much learning. But in that moment was, I think I never was more afraid in my life like I was that time, you know, before to take that decision.
Yeah. So what did your life look like at that time in Denmark when you at least had the awareness that, like, you were depressed and you were stuck? Like, what was your lifestyle kind of like then, that now you look back and go, well, I was really depressed? What were you doing that you realized, I can't live like this, that forced your hand?
Okay, no, I think...
Like, because you say you're working as a psychologist at that time?
I was working, I mean, I was living in Denmark for 4 years. Was so hard for me, all the movings. I mean, it's not easy when you're traveling in another country with another language, right? Everything get more effort for you. And yes, I was working like psychologist, really happy. Happy in a way. I got something so important for my career, for my life.
Yeah.
Stability in that. I was with in a relationship with so much love, complicated, but with so much love. But I'm working in another place. But in one moment when I began to feel like the happiness was really, I mean, I was feeling happy. I was feeling, I was feeling happy. I was fighting for the relation I had with my ex-boyfriend, which was really nice, but with so much troubles and I was, you know, when you want something like works and it's not working and you are putting the best, but you put a lot and fight a lot, and then you notice, like, you know, you got like sick, you got like, I don't know. I don't have the words in English. Sorry about my English. I am trying to do it. I speak Spanish, but people don't know. I am trying to do my best.
No, it's beautiful.
I felt I was giving everything, but wasn't working, and my work began to go down too. And, you know, my body, I don't know. I begin to felt like... something bad was happening in my life, and I had to do something because I was feeling like I was going down. I was needing a change. I was needing to do something.
And how is it to work as a psychologist when you feel yourself depressed? How is it to go to work and speak to people that you're meant to help, even though that you're not in a good place yourself? That must be difficult.
Yeah. I mean, we learn, you know, one of the first step in university or in the career is like try to separate, you know, dissociate. I don't know if it's the correct word in English, but when you work, you know, and it's like another work. You put all the energy there, and that was okay. I was okay with that, but I had like another question more deep about myself, and I was working, it's okay, and I continue with my work, but I knew like something in myself was happening, and wasn't about the my job, was about me. Of course, I think it's like another job. You put a lot of effort, and when you don't have the strong, okay, something is I mean, you need to put more effort. But was more personal question.
So why? So before I ask this question, because this is what this is my thoughts on therapy and psychology. So psychologists. One, can you do your job properly whilst having a wall between you and the person you're talking to? Like, I know it's I know it's a job and you're working, but can you do the best possible by having to keep a distance between you and that person to protect yourself? Do you know what I mean? So it's like if you speak to a friend, the friend isn't thinking in the back of the head, I'm trying to keep this person at a distance. You're just trying to listen and care. Now you're I think, to do the job you need to do, there needs to be some emotional investment, I think, isn't there? To truly care about someone.
I think that's, I mean, when you are bad, you are bad. Of course, you are a person. But when I was working in that moment, I was, I mean, I knew that I had so much stuff to solve myself. I didn't have energy, but when I was working, I was working. But it's complicated maybe to explain, but it's something like we learn. I mean, and I think at least in myself, I was working like that. I was feeling some stuff in my personal life, but I went to my consultory the days I had to do, and I did the best, and I continue with that, you know? I mean, I continued actually with everything because I tried to fight until the last point, you know? I mean, I never stopped, but I was beginning to notice, okay, something is not, I mean, I was feeling happy. Mm. I continue with everything, but in one point, okay, I had to do something because I was feeling okay, and so many stuff begin to, I begin to feel signs, and suddenly a lot of people was going to India, and I begin to resonate with India in a lot of stuff, and I say, okay, so much stuff. I think I believe like I don't know if I think, I mean, for you maybe it was the same, right? When you in India in particular, when you go trying to find some answers or spirituality or whatever, in some point you feel like something is it's complicated to I don't know, so it's complicated maybe to put in word, but you feel like, okay, I don't know what to do, but maybe I can find something there. Maybe you feel like it isn't the place. After a big trip, maybe you notice like maybe it's in yourself. But when you can see it's in yourself, you think like that place can give you some kind of truth or some kind of whatever knowledge or whatever. So I think the people doesn't arrive to India for casualty. Right? Yeah. I mean, the people I want to do that kind of trip, of course, so much people go for tourism and it's amazing too. But I think when you are in India, I met people like you, and I met people like with so much interesting histories about life. Like, you say, oh man, I mean, you begin to feel you are not so alone, you know, yeah. In the suffering, in the questions, in the feelings. You begin to feel, okay, there are a lot of people is feeling the same like me. I think that is something like you find easily in India, and maybe with the time, and if you are lucky, then you know, it's like it's not about India. Maybe the truth is in yourself, of course, but in that moment when you are in the shit, it's complicated to see.
Course,
and in
yeah.
that point, I think the vibration in India give you like some kind of awareness or knowledge, or of course like a lot of years of knowledge and yeah.
Yeah, so why do you think, why India and not somewhere else?
I think because this, in my case, I was feeling so much disconnect with myself, you know. I was feeling so much disconnect, and it wasn't a moment. Maybe you felt the same, you know, when you did your decision too. I couldn't think about nothing. I was like, in a big hole, and I couldn't think nothing. Okay, who I am, what I want, where I want to live. In my case, where I want to live was a big question. But I felt like in India, I was needing some kind of truth or some kind of answer that I didn't have in that moment. And I said, okay, where I can find truth? And I think India, if you believe in energy or whatever you want to put in that place, right? God, universe, energy,
karma,
yourself, karma or karma?
Karma.
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 Karma in Spanish is like peace.
Calm.
So for that, yeah. But
don't
yeah,
karma,
I mean, I think India have a big truth, right? And I say, okay,
yeah.
I need truth. So I say, okay, I don't know what to do with my life, but maybe there, if I like confront with myself, and with this knowledge around, with yoga, with meditation, with that tools, because there are tools, I can try to find in the first point peace, to try to think what I want, what I need, and then knowledge. And I think that there are like Hinduism, more Buddhism, there are a lot of knowledge and another kind of doors you can open, and you feel a lot of different stuff, like calm your mind and can give you another connection with yourself, right? I mean, in my case, it was India. It can be another stuff. In my case, I think it was India because I really admire some point of view you're gonna find there. So I think it's so rich, right? For the soul.
For sure. I mean, I don't know what Argentina's like, but in Australia, like, in my circle, I guess, like, meditation's still a kind of a somewhat foreign thing. Like, not a lot of people meditate, but then over when you go to India, like, because it's so like Hinduist or so much, they're all Hindus. Like that, like the dad is meditating in the morning, and the mum, and like the kids grew up with it, and it's just become so much more normal, and it can take away that even thought process, and then you can actually concentrate a little bit on like getting. There's a big difference between meditating and being in the meditative state. So, India,
yeah,
it's great. It's, for me, I guess it was, I don't even know. It is a hard question to answer for that same like kind of reason. It's like, it was just something that needed to happen. And that makes you start believing in your soul and karmic bonds and stuff like that. And then, you go over there and it's maybe not what you expect, but what happens ends up being kind of like better than
for sure. In the beginning, it's not right.
No. Yeah, what was your...
What I am fucking doing here? What was that idea to come here will be a good idea? Oh, my fucking God.
And for you, so yeah, so you lost your father and you're an only child. So that's you and your mum. You're living in Denmark. Your mum is in Argentina. And you move countries to India out of all places and you don't tell... your mother. When you first told me that, I thought that was insane. And I also thought, wow, don't trust this girl because she can lie.
She's a fucking liar.
but she's
a professional liar.
But then I crashed my scooter in Thailand. Remember when I fell off? And I was like pretty fucked up. And I didn't tell my mum. And then when I got home, I still had a bit of a scar on my head. And then she found out then and she didn't. It was fine because she knew I was okay. And that made me kind of go, okay, I think girls' brains work differently. Where, like, I always want to know things. I don't know why. But then maybe it's like, you know, sometimes it's better. You know, you're not being a bad. I don't know. The idea of, like, lying and just like not saying anything is blurry. But anyway, so you went over there for not even like to protect. So there's one point of protecting your mum so your mum's not worried. The second point is protecting yourself so you don't have to put up with your mum's worries. But the other thing is when you need someone and you feel alone and you want to talk to, say, your mother. So that decision must have been... How did that decision come about? Was that a conscious decision or you just were going to tell her and you never did?
Of course, it was a conscious decision and it was so with this word, complicated. I mean, of course, it was really complicated and so many, I mean, all my friends tell me, what are you doing? How you can tell to your mom? I mean, it was like a big debate is the word?
Yeah.
And for me it was a terrible decision, but in one point, I mean, I am the only child and my mom was in Argentina, so much afraid, thinking like India was the worst, and in the way they people traffic organs, she told me, so imagine, you know, and I said, okay, if I tell to her, if I am doing this trip, she will get really afraid every day, and actually I was so afraid. I didn't have idea to what to do. I didn't have, I have a big plan. Of course, I was going to do meditation, some retreats, whatever. But I was so much afraid with myself. So I didn't have the energy to support another person also asking, okay, and what do you want to do? And because I didn't have answers. So I think now, seeing from now, from this point, I think was the best decision I took. But of course, also for protect her, but also for protect myself, you know, and my time, because I was needing time. I was needing time to have a time with myself in the way I didn't had in my life, because was that, I think also for that was so complicated, because it's the point when you have to take decision alone. You can ask that nobody. You don't have nobody to. It's like you taking decision. In the really form of the world, right? And was complicated, but yeah, with the time I noticed it was the best decision I can take for myself.
Yeah,
and also for learn about that, right? For learn about just listen yourself, you know. Time to time, you have so much voice in the. We have so much voices that it's not our voices.
Yeah, and you sit.
But yeah, it was difficult.
Yeah, you sit in your suffering and you think, how much worse could it be? You know, you have all your fears and you think, well, even if my fears come true, it couldn't be, like you. It's gonna be okay. At least I know, or like there's gonna be something's gonna come from it. Yeah, So what?
But it was terrible. I remember and was terrible feelings.
In hindsight, now looking back, that you've gone and then now you're back home. And how long are you in India for? All up.
I was in India living in India for 6 months.
6 months. So, I mean, obviously it's impossible to try and like boil it down to a sentence. But if you look back now with some separation and reflection, why do you think you went there? And then what came of going there? How are you different now from before?
Okay. I think a lot of stuff. I mean, I have in my mind, but in the first time, I think to allow myself to so many stuff I didn't do in a lot of time, because so much pressure, because so much social things, you know, and I allow myself to give my time to just like put the face to my fears, put the face with my limit, put the you know, put the face with so much stuff I was needing to solve and was important for me, and maybe for the rest of the world was a stupid questions, but for me was important and I was needing the time. So I think was the first point, allow myself to so many stuff, right? And then I think was like, yeah, allow yourself to open a door with another kind of knowledge, with another kind of process, with another kind of love also for yourself. And I think it is well, you know, like it's a process, right? All the people ask you, like, okay, you found that you was looking for, you know, it's like the typical, also for you, I think, was the same, the typical question, oh, did you find that? I mean, and I think it's the worst question, right? But I think 10 to 10, maybe the question you did yourself before, it changed. You don't have the same question.
Yeah.
Maybe you have another question right now.
Yeah,
and maybe the answer you was needing.
Sorry, cut you off.
No, that maybe the answer you was needing that time just turned, you know, and you begin to discover another form to think.
Yeah,
another form to see the life.
Another space.
So at the end, the question exactly, and so much tools and of course you still are the same, but you see the world or yourself also different and it's step to step, right? It's like a small change, because I think we grow with the some lines like for because of society, family, whatever, so some lines so strong. And then you have to put that lines or put that knowledge away and try to rebuild another knowledge. So it's a big effort, but I think you get another tools for yourself and for see everything. And I think that is the worst, right? But it's a big process, but it's open the mind and the soul more than the mind, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people kind of like say it in a condescending tone, like, did you find yourself? So, yes.
Big question, right?
I found out that I'm a drunk. But no, yeah, no, it's very, there's a way to kind of be, like we spoke, like you can get your ego attached to it and you can see it within yourself. Like I went, you go to India and then after 2 weeks, like I remember like walking home and I was real tired and I was just like a little bit frustrated, like I've come all the way to India just to realize that I'm just the exact same person. But then that's a lesson within itself. And then a lot of things do drop off. A lot of things do, you might realize, oh, I I have this insecurity because when I'm around this group of friends, or because I'm going to this place, or because of, like, you do find things that you can kind of let go of, and then when you come back, you don't go back to them. But yeah, a lot of stuff, you go over there and you're like, okay, I'm just, you know, I still go on my phone too much. And like it is a process. But yeah, like I said yesterday, it's like finding out there's another room next door that if this room gets a bit too much, you can walk into, like, another space in your mind. And it all is...
Exactly, and I think...
Yeah, it all is your mind, and you're always, like, kind of dealing with yourself, but sometimes it's nice to change the environment to, I don't know, observe things from a different perspective.
Exactly, I think that is the... I mean, of course you didn't change in 6 months. Nobody did, you know? I mean maybe some people do. I mean, maybe you can, but I think the point, I think... You still are the person you was, but maybe something happened to me. Of course, when you get to the same environment like you was before, of course you feel like you're losing everything you learn, you know, right? But I think at least you begin to be more aware, and that is so big, because maybe I am continue doing the same, but for at least I can see that it's not like you're in automatic doing. Okay, I can see. So that is taking, like, distance. And maybe it's so small, but it's a big change. Because at least you can be more aware. And then, okay, then you can begin to think about that in another way, with another tools. And then with the time, I think you begin to notice. Because I think it's the process and the learnings is like up and down, up and down. You go up, I am really good, I am so spiritual. Eh? And then you go down and you begin to feel, okay, I'm doing the same. And then you notice, no, it's not the same. Maybe similar, but it's not the same. Okay, so it's like this. It's like up and down. But I think it's everything is so much learning, right? When you have the courage to open another door, it's so much effort because, I mean, everybody like did know, like, you need so much effort, but then work it, right, in some way.
Yeah, and it's like your mind and your body is always going to fear something, so it's nice to put, like, a real obstacle or a real challenge for yourself so you can start worrying about, like, you're in a new place and you're in a whole new environment and you stop worrying about the trivial stuff, like, or what am I going to watch on, like, Netflix tonight? It just gives you a break from that type of stuff. Yeah, which is nice. But, yeah, it's both. It's a great thing to do, but it's also not the answer to everything. You still feel the same. When you come back, you still feel the same, but it's just different. Like, all the emotion, like,
you maybe still, worse.
Maybe. You still have the same body and emotions and everything. They might just be, I don't know, you just forget. You're always just who you are.
Yeah, maybe when you come back to the same reality, it's worse because you are more aware. So,
yeah,
we should cut not so much, right?
Don't have to cut anything. This is it. Sorry, I just paused it.
I am talking about time.
Yeah, we won't talk forever. But there's one thing I do kind of want to talk about because, I mean,
yeah. I have time. You are the boss.
Yes, I am. Don't you ever forget it.
You're the boss. Exactly.
Yeah, because it would be easier to listen to two people talk and being like, yes, we went to India and the mountains and fucking all that stuff. But the, yeah, and I said this yesterday about how, like, you know, you meditate every morning and then you know, kind of like walk around all day and just be like, what is this? What's going on? Like, what is my soul? Is there a God? Is it all just karma? And then sometimes it's kind of like, gosh, like even my mind needs to stop thinking about it. Like, and yeah, that whole idea of like that path is, and this is, yeah, what I was saying yesterday, how like kind of like the, because I feel sometimes like a slave to the representation of someone who believes in karma and like higher power and energy, and that Saturn is affecting my sleep and stuff like that.
Some people like look at you like weird. Okay, no, this guy.
But not even weird, but then other more like, well, then why do you still get angry, or why are you still like stupid? Why aren't you like this blissful guy if you meditate every morning? And that is like the idea of like, say, this spiritual journey is, it doesn't mean that you have to be like a slave to not having emotions or expressing yourself. You know what I mean? And I feel like at when you travel, when you go to these certain places where people, you know, go to yoga every morning, and maybe it's true, and maybe the reason that like I can be like grumpy or whatever is because like you drink or whatever and or smoke, and then the next day you feel that. But yeah, there is a little bit of like it's like feel sometimes disingenuine of certain things because everyone is so blissful. And this is the question, that if we dedicate our lives to not be reincarnated because this is nothing but a cycle of suffering, and the idea of becoming enlightened means that your soul is cleansed of all karma and then you go back into the well of beauty. But then at the same time, like, okay, if this is just suffering, then why do we all have to be happy, dumb hippies? Does that make sense?
Sorry, happy, dumb hippies.
Happy.
I'm losing the last part.
Happy, dumb hippies. Like, I feel like it, like the idea for me personally to reach any enlightenment will come through like doing and like knowledge rather than, I don't know if I'm explaining it right. So it's like, so there's gurus and then the students, but everyone you speak to seems to know everything. And I wish that world had a bit more of uncertainty. Because say we're in the cafe in Dharamshala and everyone you speak to is like a, they're trying to prove to you how much they know.
Yeah, but I think that also continue being like ego.
That's what I mean. So right? Sometimes like when you're at a place and like, you know, you're having a drink or something, it's like, can we just, that's, I don't know, you know, you, like it becomes so consuming. Whereas I kind of think like your practice is like you do, say you meditate in the morning and night and you do that and then like you kind of live your life. So it's having something to apply your practices to rather than your life being a whole discipline. Because this is what happens with me. So this is probably just, I say this is what other people do, but it's, I'm just probably just talking about myself. Projecting, as you will.
Projecting.
Is that like, say, I wake up and I'll do like stretch, meditate, set a timer, meditate for 30 minutes, get up, have a coffee, go to gym, go on the bike for 40 minutes, time it, go in the sauna, set my, and then it's kind of like, am I even living or am I just preparing to not be depressed? Or am I just ticking boxes? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
like the balance.
I am trying to.
The balance of like, that's what I'm saying, the difference between.
I think balance is a good.
Yeah, the difference between meditation and being meditative.
I mean, it's a nice question. I don't know. I think it's a complex question. I think balance is a good word, because I mean, I became yoga teacher in India, of course. No, but I mean, I am right now. I'm trying to put the best in my practice every day, right? And then the time I feel that also, no? Okay, I have to wake up, I have to meditate half an hour, then I have to do my yoga practice, then I have to, I don't know, eat healthy, whatever. And of course you have your life and maybe another job and I mean normal life. And I think balance is a good word, but because I think all these tools, also yoga or meditation or go to the gym or whatever, try to give us peace. But it's not the only, I mean, it's not only we need, also, I mean, I think also we need to read, we need knowledge, because at the end, I think it's trying to change another kind of vision, change the vision to try to suffer less, right? Mm. I don't know, I think so many people take this path because there was suffering a lot, for example, my history or maybe your history, you know, maybe there are people like all the life was like devotes or spiritual, and also it's so valid. But so much people, we are trying to suffer less or trying to find a form to be less depressed or be more happy or whatever. And I think at the end, all the stuff, there are tools for try to feel better with yourself. Maybe for another people can be make music, right?
Mm.
Or maybe for another people can be write. Or maybe for another people can be write. Paint, I don't know. But I think balance is a good way, because you have to learn and find your own balance with the stuff you think, with the stuff you are, with the stuff you, with your body. Also, yoga is about that, right? Like, find a balance. And that is not easy.
Mm.
And that is not easy.
And yeah, it's kind of like that balance between doing it out of love and doing it out of fear. As far as I'm meditating so I can, because I'm scared that my mind's going to be mean to me.
Be what?
Mean, nasty. Like, I'm doing this just so this doesn't happen, rather than I'm doing this because it feels good.
But I think in one point, I mean, I think at the beginning it's like, I mean, also you need discipline, of course, for everything. But I think in the first it's discipline. Okay, I have to wake up and I have this. But then I think you go through, in one point of a process, you do because you want, maybe because you need.
Mm.
I mean, I know when I don't meditate in the beginning, yet, okay, I have to meditate 10, I don't know, 30 minutes. Then you begin to understand, okay, it's not about time. It's about another stuff, about how I feel. If I don't have time, okay, I can do in 5, but it's about a vision of world, right? A vision of a form to see. But I think in one point you begin to need that time, because the time is your connection.
Mm.
I know when I don't meditate, it's okay. I mean, I don't push myself in the bad way. Okay, oh, you don't meditate. Okay, so you so bad. I try to acceptance that. But also, I feel more calm. I feel when I do yoga, I feel more happy with myself, you know? Then you begin to love that part. And I think that is a good, a trick, right? When you begin to love what you are doing, and maybe you notice like only do yoga or only meditate or only dance or write or whatever make you happy. So it's a good form to avoid, to escape to the suffering. But in a balance, because I don't feel, I mean, I don't know, we were talking about drink. I don't feel like you get worse or better because you drink or not. But maybe the point is when you drink a lot, the other day you lose, okay, I couldn't wake up, I feel bad, my mind, you know, I have habits. So it's so you begin to notice, okay, that made me bad. So for that you stop, not because it's bad, you know, you don't have to. It's because, okay, when I did that, I can wake up another day. So I think it's a combination of a lot of stuff. My guru is not my guru, but I love to say to him, my guru, my Danish guru. It's a guy I really appreciate. I mean, seriously, I really appreciate, and I really like your form to see the life. He talk about, it's not only about meditation. It's about meditation. It's about read. It's about knowledge. It's about read about the stuff, like make you, you know, understand. I think that the balance is a good word in the way we have to have a balance also in the meditation, in the go with friends, you know, in the do this, because we are still humans.
For sure.
And of course, real humans. So, I mean,
and the practicality of what it requires to be independent. Like, obviously, we are social creatures. We can't be independent. But as far as having your own money, like your own bed, like the actual stuff that you require, because, yeah, I guess it's all, this is me, I guess. Not, I don't want to sound negative, but it's just more my just having to check my ego a lot, because as far as like, yeah, all the spiritual stuff, but then I am doing it beneath the roof that my dad paid for because he gets up and goes to work. So it's like that balance of like, especially, you know, maybe in yeah, maybe in India you can, yeah, be that and just be that, and people support you. But here you have to pay your own bills and do your own stuff, especially if you want to have a family and all that.
Mm-mm.
So that's probably, yeah, more about
the real life,
exactly, and that's what it's for. It's not an escape for that; it's a tool for that. I think, like, for me to go. Yeah. Before I go back to being an electrician, I have to become enlightened. that's like the funny thing.
But also for that, I was thinking, also for that, so many people is moving to India to live, you know? I mean, yeah, I met so much people like, okay, I can't anymore with this life.
Yeah.
I mean, I in this life, I don't know, Argentina, Australia, or all the countries, right? I mean, I am doing the real life. I don't know how to say this. I am doing with hands because the people can look at me.
Quotation marks.
that's the real life. You don't have time here. Of course, you have to pay bills. I mean, we don't have time for the important thing at the end. And maybe the important thing is, like, I don't know, have a family, and it's also okay. But it's more complex here, like try to keep the spiritual path when you are immersed in a world like you have so many noise and so many other stuff and so many like pressure about so many stuff you have to do and you have to pay. So it's so complex to, I really admire the people like live here in the way, I mean, I don't know how to do it.
And it's easy to get ego involved in that, because there's a part of me that wants to master this lifestyle to prove that I can do it. It's like, yeah, I can have each aspect of like my spirituality, my mind, my body, my finances. I can do it. But then I'm here for a few months and I'm like, fuck, there's a part of my head, and I know they're both silly to say I am like superior to the masses, but then there's another time where I'm like I am inferior, Like the same reason why, like, I don't do heroin, or is not because I think I'm, like better than someone that does heroin. It's because I'm know that I'm worse, and I'll probably just become addicted to it. Does that make sense? Maybe a bad example.
Yeah, makes sense.
But it's like a choice of saying I need to go because I can't work out a way to not suffer here. And I'll suffer somewhere else, but it'll be a bit more free, which is why art is so good also.
Yeah, but also because you come back to some role you had and the people put in the same role. And also somebody told me is like, maybe when you are in another environment, you are more. I mean, I think we have to fight all the time with our ego, because it's our ego is with us all the time.
Of course.
Also, when we are trying to meditate, we are trying to make yoga or whatever. You want to, okay, I will do better yoga because I will do this position. So, I mean, I think it's a big, big, long way to try to push away the ego in some parts, and it's so complicated. And maybe the people like is really enlightenment, or the people like work for a long time can do it. If not, I think it's with us all the time. But also when you are in some environments, the people have less ego, and you can what means namaste.
Namaste
means like when you say hello. Exactly. I mean, you say hello. I remember like Avatar, the movie, right? When they look like see you. It's like say hello to the divinity, like it's in yourself. I say namaste. I say my divinity, say hello to the divinity that are in yourself. So we are trying to put we have the ego, but we are trying to push it a bit away. So my experience in that place is or also with the people, not in that place, it's maybe here with you right now, but we are talking in one way. And maybe when you are in another environment, the people talk from ego to ego. So you don't have escape when somebody complains or somebody is talking with your ego. You have to answer with the ego. And try to tell me you have to be really strong to try to don't put your ego in that conversation. You don't have, but maybe even you felt with some friends like more spiritual or more, you know, more zen, you can be another person. You can talk about another topic. But if somebody is talking about, you know, work and money, and it's more complicated to try to don't answer with your ego. So there's everything push in that way. So I think it's a big fighting, right?
Sure. And you can be
under that environment.
You can be an ego pretending to be a soul, and you can be a soul pretending to be an ego. Because obviously we're talking with the egos now. Like, I'm Riley. Hello, I'm Riley. That's me. That's my ego. But then, like, I use my ego to converse, but beneath it is coming from somewhere. Because I really do think we do not exist fundamentally, because we are just, I mean, yeah, maybe there's like, yeah, 20-gram soul has you and your karma and memories and knowledge and stuff like that. But I realized when I did a few of the podcasts where I'm just talking by myself, and I realize, like, I can talk to you right now and I become the character that you expect me to be and who I want you to see me as. Like, I want you to like me, so I'm being this. But then when I'm talking to no one and I don't know who's listening, I'm kind of like, who am I? Am I going to be like the funny one with my best friend? Am I going to be like a sincere one that I'm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or am I, and then you kind of like, shit, I don't know who I even am. I just adapt to each situation. So do I even, am I even anyone? And then that's a good thing. That can be scary sometimes, but the things that you're scared of are very liberating, because that's where the suffering comes from. Like, you know, you start worrying about your body or your if your pants don't look cool. And then you start to think, I don't even exist. Don't worry about that. But I exist somewhere and everywhere also. Namaste.
Namaste.
Yes. So is there anything else you want to talk about? Well, I think what we've spoke about, I also think like that's where art has been so good for me because it's a bit more real and applicable, and you can apply all your practices to it, and you have something to kind of see what works and what doesn't work rather than taking people's word for it. And like if you write a page and you read it again, you're like I'm talking shit, or like I'm trying to impress. I'm writing this so when Ashlyn reads it, she thinks a certain thing, et cetera, et cetera. Where that's similar to sitting down and meditating, and you know, they all tie in together, but it's a bit more the real world, I think. So art is like a religion with the main rules is like what it, you can kind of see, I don't know, you have something to show for it. Okay, yeah. Well, let's wrap this up. I'm going to wrap this up.
Sorry, I lose the connection in one point, so I couldn't.
Well, I just said like you were talking about prophetic, not pathetic, thing ever. It was incredible. I'm joking. So yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to finish this by saying something very sincere, and I'm going to say when. I sold my house and left my job and invested that money in myself and my writing career, and it was absolutely terrifying. At the airport, I felt like my first day of school where I was like getting a photo and all I was doing was trying to hold back tears. And a lot of the times I get back now and I published a book and, you know, it's easy to just kind of think like, well, that was just all for nothing. Like, what the fuck? I just threw my life away for what? That's when you have those silly thoughts. But then one thing that I always think of is that when we talk and I think about our friendship, and that I would not have met you if I didn't have the courage and faith to do that. So whenever I'm feeling down about my life decisions, I think about our relationship and it does make me feel better. And I'm very, very grateful to be friends with you. And I couldn't think of a better person to share whatever this is with. And I'm looking forward to what our two great minds come up with in the future. So thank you, Ashlyn.
Oh, my God. What beautiful words. What a beautiful words.
It's your turn.
It's my turn to give you flowers, okay? Please give me my turn. No, thank you so much for these beautiful words, really. And what to say? I think I can't believe yet, like you sold your house, and for me, you are one of the kind of hero. Hero?
It's not what my parents think.
I was learning for a long time. I told you before, but I know so much people, and I don't know. I met somebody like did that with so much courage like you did. So I think from the beginning of our relation, we're talking, I was really impressed about that. And I asked, you really sold your house? like 10 times? I don't know. I am really impressed and I really appreciate your courage and your bravery. So, and I don't know if I didn't meet in Dharamshala, that time if I could do the same with my writing, because for me it was the same. It was like really a really nice motivation for myself, know you and know your history and read your lines and share with you the stuff I did, and also the recognizement you did me in the way, oh wow, this is nice, I like this. So I am really also grateful about made you in that place, because maybe if I didn't met, maybe I don't know, maybe my motivation to write maybe it's not the same, or maybe I don't know, I think it's we share also maybe for 1 year actually. We share all this time, so much feeling about writing, about life, about it was an amazing path together.
Yeah, for sure. It's been great.
So I am so grateful about that. And please, for the people who's listening, if someone is listening, I really want to ask you about your history, because I really think your history is really amazing, and again I am so impressed about that and about your college and about your history. So I would love to change the world. Maybe one time you give me a place to ask you some question about your life and your history and how you arrived to India.
Yes, that can be.
I think the people can have so many. Nice talking about that.
Yeah, and it's like when you're younger, you kind of, I don't know, you always think you're going to live that lifestyle, and then you get to a point where you're not, and you see other people doing it, and you start to think, oh, that's because they're a different type of person, they haven't got like the fears that I have, and then you realize that everyone feels the same. It's just a decision whether you do it or not. And then you do it and you see other people there and, you know, like doing it by myself and thought I was like the craziest, coolest person ever. And then you see like a 19-year-old girl traveling by herself and, yeah, she's been traveling for however long and you're like, okay. And then you see other people and it just makes you feel, I don't know, I guess one part of it is less special, but more of it you feel, okay, this isn't this big scary beast that I just thought was big and scary because I didn't know about it. And of course it's scary, but it's scary in different ways. Like what isn't scary? Everything's scary. So, yeah. Anyway, we'll have that
of course, but
on our next episode. Not our next episode, but we'll talk again in maybe a month or something.
I think something about this and is that, right? Find the echoes, right? Because I think for me it was India, for you was like, sold your house, looking for something, taking the bribery for sold your house. Like I say that because like all the people want to have a house, and you sold for looking for something else it was needed. So have to be so brave. But I think that the more interesting we can share is like the normal history, because at the end it was like me and you and all the people, right? People that have so much afraid and took one decision, like with shitting in your pants, right? Like, and then, then happened, I mean, another history, not better or worse than another person, but I want to say, okay, then you're tight, like you can do so many stuff, and then you're tight, you're at another point or whatever you feel the change. But I think it's nice to share the histories about, yeah, try to do something else with your life if you need that. Yeah. And not as like it's possible, and there are and all the people like beginning the same points, you know, so much afraid and feeling like can do nothing, right? But then you know, Thais, you can do so many stuff. So it's in that is rich, right?
Yeah, and it becomes like a manifestation of your beliefs and philosophies, because like a lot of things, I had to, you know, you meditate or you do stuff and you think, if I actually believe this, why does my life not line up my actions to my courage or faith? And then, yeah, you have to, yeah, that starts to weigh in. So, yeah, I guess you can, meditation is the best. Okay. Well, Thank you so much.
Thank you for today.
Namaste.
Mwah. Thank you. It was a pleasure to talk with you like always.
And a pleasure to talk to you like always.